I don't like these questions.
Well, the next one's not so bad.
Okay. All right. Joining me again is Sam Pett. You may have heard her podcast number 61, which I believe was called I Want to Know What the Girl Has to Say, or something like that. And yes, yeah, she's back because after recording that podcast, Sam said, can I ask you questions? And that seems to be a running theme. This will be at least the third one this season where I let go of the controls and hand it over to someone else. So, hi, Sam.
Hey, Matt. Thank you so much for having me back on. Thank you.
Oh, all good.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I hope you're ready.
I always realize after these, like when people ask questions, I'm like, wow, it's really stressful. People ask me questions. Right. I get really stressed. I don't think of that right. The other, when I'm asking the questions. It's easy asking the questions.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Oh dear. As always, I have to remember that you're allowed to stop and think of answers because you can always edit out the pauses. I don't know why.
You can.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. But yeah, I should say that to every person on the podcast is like, oh, remember, if you need time, take 10 minutes. We can just cut it back.
Right. So.
Yeah, it's pretty
and
stupid.
That would stop us all just like going blah 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 under the stress of your questions.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned it on a future episode, no, a past episode, getting confused with Nick, where sometimes people say things that they don't mean, they don't believe, just because it keeps the conversation going. When you listen back, you're like, I don't mean that anyway. All right, yeah. I'll leave you to it.
All right then, so. My first question for you, although like we don't know each other well, we only know each other through the podcast community, but what I think I've learned about you is that you are kind of very professional and kind of perfectionist in what you do, and whatever challenge or whatever job it is that you're doing, you come across as somebody who wants to like do it to the best.
Yes.
Which led me to think you can't be that perfect.
No.
So I'd like to ask you, Matt, what do you think are your bad habits?
Oh, okay. I will take some time. It'll take me ages to come up with this answer. No. my bad habits are
like personally or professionally?
I think both personally and professionally. My worst habit's probably impatience.
Okay.
I like working at my pace and I guess I like living at my own pace. So sometimes, certainly at work, I don't like working with people who faff around. I like to, I like to get things done, not professionally, but as cleanly as possible. And to do that, I think I'm quite good at just cutting through the fat that you don't need to worry about, but other people aren't. And that's what drives me crazy. I don't like being in collaborations and I'm an English teacher. So a lot of the things that drive me mad are arguing over semantics. English teachers are the worst of like, well, what's a better word here? We need a better word. And like literally can talk for 20, 30 minutes about what the correct word is rather than like just focus on what the idea is that you want to do and polish things later. Like anyway, so you're already sensing it. Like, drives me crazy. But I'm pretty impatient in my life too. And I like I said, going at my own pace and it's impossible. Because I have a wife and two children and they don't go at your pace. And I've spoken to a lot of people about this, that when your spouse or partner or whoever goes away, like they go on a holiday or they're at work or they're at a conference and you've got a couple of days just with your kids.
Uh-huh.
When they're like babies, it's pretty hard. Like it's hardcore, it's constant. But when they're a bit older, it's actually quite okay because you learn very quickly that, oh, we're going to do everything at my pace. So I'm awake at this time. So now we're going to go here. Then we're going to do this. So you go, all right, let's go. And then you go. But when you are with your partner, you will say, all right, then we can do this. And they'll go, oh, yeah, but I might go for a walk first, or I might do this first. I was going to do this first. I was going to clean. I was going to, like, all of that stuff. And all of a sudden you're like, well, okay. So I don't know if that's just like the slight Asperger tendencies that I have of making everything organized and having a plan. And then if that plan doesn't, if the plan gets changed, I struggle with that. So
I'm just going to ask you, are you, you're calling it impatience. I'm hearing control freak.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm not really a control freak, but my first response is annoyance. My first response
I do know what you mean.
Yeah. I was like, am I a control freak? But I tend to get over it fairly quickly. But that first bit is, that's something I'd like to change because it's stupid and it doesn't help. And it's quite, it's right. Not, you know what, it's not impatience, it's petulance, like a child. Like when you change a plan on a child and they're like, oh, that's not fair. You said we could have ice cream. And you're like, well, there is no ice cream. That's what it is more than anything else. It's just when things get changed or things go wrong, my first response is to like stamp my feet and whinge. And then be like, well, that didn't matter. That didn't matter.
And at the end of the day, it was all right.
And again, it makes a difference. If it's in the holidays, then sweet. Oh, we have all the time in the world. But when it's like school time and it might be getting to the busy time of the term or whatever, then, yeah, I can be pretty petulant of just like, oh, can we just, everyone just be efficient? Can everyone just be efficient? And then I won't have to wait. Because the other thing is a lot of times I'll be ready to move to the next step.
Yes.
And I can't. And so what do I do?
Yes.
Can't do nothing.
Right. So
there's a lot of that happens. And it's the same with family. Like, I'm ready now. Like, what are we going? Is this happening? What are we doing?
Yes.
So that can be an issue. But, yeah, something to work on. So that's one of them.
No.
I'm fairly organized. Yeah, I'm a fairly organized person, control freak.
I'm guessing that you hate the person in the staff meeting when everything's just wrapping up and then there's that one person who says, oh, one more thing.
Yeah, I've said it as that, yes, I think that's hell.
He was like, oh, for God's sake.
I think that's done? That's my personal hell is a meeting
right.
That goes forever because Satan is about to wrap it up. And he's like, all right, we've been here 783 years, so no one's got anything else. And then someone for eternity, there's always another person who's got something to add. I don't know. That's a personal thing of mine, especially is, meetings just drive me a bit feral.
Yeah.
I don't like talking about stuff. I like doing stuff. I think I learn by doing and making mistakes rather than, I don't know. The deconstruction of your daily life is a waste of my time, really.
Cool.
Yeah, what else? I don't know. Other, like, things I want to improve is, my internal monologue needs improvement. I think that... I spend way too much time in my own head replaying or,
Are you one of those people who goes to bed and then thinks, oh, why did I say that? Why didn't I do this?
It's not so much that it can happen. I think my dad has that in spades and I have that from time to time where I think about things I haven't thought about for years and years that'll pop into my head and be like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Like fairly recently, I was talking to my mum and I said, You know when grandma died, like that's my dad's mum, when she died, his family's huge and they're all really close. And most of the people went to her house that night. Most of the family, him and my mum went. I stayed home. I had to tell my brothers. And then they went. And I stayed at home by myself. And I said to my mum, like, you know, when I did that, was that the wrong thing to do? Should I not have done that? And she said that was in 1996. So
one remembers.
Yeah, he was like, you're just like your father. That's what the kind of thing he does. But I'm not one to like, dwell on things much at night. But I tend to, just create a world in my head that's not real, and it's usually based on how I'm feeling at the time. Like if I'm particularly stressed, then everything pisses me off, and it's usually targeted towards my family more than at work. I'm quite good at work of staying fairly professional, and that's not always the case, but usually with my family, like I think you're thinking, that's probably a thing that I need to stop doing.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Yeah. Like I think that you're thinking this way, but you know, like the goal is to be able to say it to people when I am thinking like that, because as soon as you verbalize it sounds ridiculous.
Right.
I think you're thinking blah blah blah, and as soon as you say it, you're like, well, that's dumb. So trying to get to that place as quickly as possible. So yeah, those are a couple of things, I guess.
Yeah, that was quite insightful, actually.
Thank you. I don't like these questions.
Well, the next one's not so bad. I got a couple of like preemptive questions that are going to lead to the main
question,
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So first of all, do you remember your dreams?
Yes. Yeah. Not always, but yes, I do remember them, and especially the ones that, like, if I have dreams
don't go into too much detail.
But if I have dreams
that are... Because these are the preemptive questions.
Yeah, so sometimes I have dreams where people say funny things or do funny things, the people in my dreams that I know, then I will send them a message in the morning saying, I had a dream when you said this phrase or anything like that. But yeah, I tend to remember some dream.
That's good, because that's going to help with my next line of questioning.
God knows. Okay.
One thing that I've discovered recently is some people dream in colour and some people only dream in black or white. Black and white.
Right. Black or white, yes.
Because a black dream would be really weird.
Yeah, that's right.
So how about yourself? Do you dream with colour or
monochrome? I'm guessing I dream in colour, because it's not something that I think I would remember if it was in black and white. But I'm pretty sure I dream in colour.
Okay. And then I was also reading about how a lot of people never actually see themselves in their dream.
Yeah.
They dream from their own perspective, but they don't actually see themselves in their dreams.
Yeah.
How about you?
Mostly it's from my point of view, but every now and then I think I see myself in dreams, but mainly it's from my own point of view, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. So which leads me up to, thank you, because that's all the right answers I was hoping for.
Okay.
Do you have any recurring dreams?
This is pretty weird, because I'm trying to remember, the podcast I did, I think it's episode 64 with Nick, he asked me lots of questions. Maybe it was after we were recording, we were talking about this. I have had... I don't think it was on the record, but I've had not a recurring dream, but I have like a motif in dreams. I would say these are like stress dreams. So my phobia in life is being struck by lightning. So that's a very real phobia that I have. So I can, I can't be outside. I like storms. I love them. I love watching them.
Yeah.
But I can't handle being out in the open. I can sit on my deck in a storm, but I can't be out in the open in a storm. It just completely freaks me out. I've ridden my bike in a storm and I just look at the ground while I'm riding, which is probably more dangerous, far more dangerous than actually. So my dreams are either being outside in a storm or a big storm's coming, someone else is outside in the storm and I'm watching. And I have these recurring dreams so much, or like these motif dreams so much, that in my dreams I actually say I have dreams about storms. So
yeah, I know what you mean.
Because they're, and I'm guessing, you know, some people have dreams. Yeah, I recognize. I don't recognize, it's a dream.
You're in a dream.
No, I don't recognize it's a dream. In the dream, I'm like, hey, this is like a dream. But I don't recognize. I don't ever recognize in the dream, maybe this, which is really weird when you think about it. Like in a dream to actually say, oh, I've had dreams like this, not to actually realize, oh, this is a dream. But, you know, people have dreams of their teeth falling out or.
Yeah, that's a very common one.
Naked in public or something like that. But that I think that's mine, is that if I'm stressed, then that's where it comes out. And in the weird thing is, in my dreams, I have never been struck by lightning. Other people might have been struck by lightning, but it's very odd. It's very odd. I've never. It's just the fear of it. Sometimes I'll be inside and the lightning will crawl across the wall.
Yeah.
But it's quite odd. It never.
Can you remember when you started having these dreams?
No, not really. Not really. So that might indicate that it's been for a long time, but I can't really remember how long. But certainly as a teenager, I'm pretty sure I had those as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Going quite way back.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I tend to, I write down dreams if they're really friggin' weird. Like if they're really weird.
Oh, really? Then okay, I'll examples, please.
Okay. All right. Now, the one that I'll have to tell you because it's great that you'll just love is I had a dream once that my very best friend, Ben Wiggins, and he knows this because I've told this is a classic, that I had a dream that he had a vagina. So now you're going to ask me all the usual questions that people ask me when they hear that dream.
Because I've just got this horrible mental image.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to ask you anything because I don't know how to. Just please explain.
Well, I think I walked in on him, in the dream. I walked in on him and saw that he had a vagina. it's pretty straightforward. And I've always said this, like mercifully in the dream, my response was, why didn't you tell me you had a vagina? Like we're friends. Like we're best friends. Like why are you keeping secrets from me? Like I would accept you if you, like I accept the fact that you have a vagina. So,
of course. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, why would you keep something like that from me? Like, did you think I wouldn't? And so I think I was offended that he had like a hidden secret from me. That's all the dream was. It's just that. Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm so going to have to share this with my friends tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can analyze that one.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, people say like if there's phrases or anything like that. My favorite dream, again, it involves.
Sorry, I'm still laughing about that one.
Again, this one involves Wiggins and his family, but it was just so weird. Was being in Sydney and Wiggo and his wife were going to watch a movie or something, and they said, "Can you babysit Louis?" their son, and I was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, cool. See you later. One more thing. Sometimes like Louis's heart will talk to you. See you later. Right. And I was like, wow, in the dream, like, what are you talking about? And then there was a doctor, like, they pulled him like from off stage. I mean, like, and the doc, everyone just kept saying, what, it's fine, like, you know, like, his heart will just talk to you. And then I was just freaking out, like, what are you talking about? They're like, just relax, just so you know, just his heart will talk to you. And then off they go. So if I have a dream that weird, then I write it down.
That is pretty epic.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's phrases, sometimes weird things. There's one I remember, that Matt Damon, I've got the reason why I remember is because I found like books from when I was at uni where I must have been writing a lot of this stuff down. So I had a dream where Matt Damon was in my dream, and he said something along the lines that, like, all of man's woes are because he learned that he's going to die. And I was like, that's very deep, Matt Damon. Whoa. Thank you. Yeah. So if I ever meet Matt Damon, I'll tell him that story. I mean, that one's pretty obvious because I used to live with a guy who looked a lot like Matt Damon. So I think that was pretty.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was he a philosophical kind of guy?
He could be in certain states. He was certainly, philosophical, but not that philosophical, I don't think. But yes, he did look a lot like Matt Damon. It's quite weird.
Oh, have you got his phone number?
He lives, I'll tell you, I don't know if he still looks like Matt Damon now. I think.
Damn it.
But he said, I actually saw Good Will Hunting with him in the cinema. And
I love that film.
A couple of times I was like, fuck off. Like looking at the screen and then looking at him and just being like, that's crazy. When, because he lives in Japan, when we were living in Japan, we actually flew up. He lives in the North Island in Hokkaido, Japan, and Justine and I flew up there, and she'd never met him. And I said, like, you're gonna meet Jess, he looks heaps like Matt Damon. Went through like how I used to live with him, he's a great guy. And we turned up, I hadn't seen him for 5 years, and it was just awesome to see him. And the first thing Justine said was, wow, you do look like Matt Damon. And he was like, oh, damn it. It's true, he really does.
Wow.
Yeah, which really, it put a curb on my my ability at university to ask girls on dates. And this happened.
He's not the best wingman.
No, he's a horrible wingman. And and the other thing too is like he was an incredibly attractive man, but he didn't have any arrogance, so it was even worse.
Oh, whoa.
So as a wingman, he would have been shy and polite and like, oh yeah, whatever.
Oh.
Yeah, but I actually lived with him, and the other guy I lived with was just this like funky, like guitar playing, soulful, lovely guy as well. And just too many times
competition.
So many. But a lot of times at uni, I would be talking to a girl like at lunch, having a break, sitting with them, and things were going quite well, and then one of them would turn up and I would say, hey, how's it going? And they'd be like, hey man, what's going on? I'll catch you later and blah, blah, blah. And then they'd leave. And then I'd turn back to the girl and she would say, who is that?
Oh, like, no.
Ah, it's all over. You live with him? Yeah. There were a couple of times, and I've only seen this with those guys. There were a couple of times where if we had parties, girls would like just go and lie on their bed. Go and lie in their bed. Wow. I don't feel very well. I'm going to have a lie down, and then just go and lie in their bed. And you'd be like, that's smooth. And again, he would be like, why? There's a girl lying on my bed. What? Who's that? And be like,
what am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah, like, why is she in my bed? Should I'll go and ask her to leave? Like, yeah, that was, again, really cool, really attractive, lovely, just no arrogance about them. I had no hope. I had no hope.
I do love the fact though that they were so humble. Like,
yeah, they were cool. Very, very cool people.
They did not taking advantage of.
No, just it like seemed that. Like good. Seemed like they were confused of like why are they getting why am I getting this attention from girls? I don't understand. I'm 6 foot. I'm 6 foot four, and I look like Matt Damon. I don't understand.
Yeah, that's competition.
Yeah, I don't know how we got onto all this pain in my past.
Oh, no, I don't know either.
Oh, right. No, yeah. No. Dreams about Matt Damon. That's right.
Dreams.
Yes.
Yes. I have a couple of recurring dreams that, so like you said, it just shows my personality.
Yeah.
And the one, I have a couple, but the one that I'll share with you is I graduated university in 1999.
All right. Yes.
And that's how old I am.
Oh, 2000 for me.
And I have this, still have this dream of walking into the English department, because I did English as a major and I did German as a sub major at uni.
Right.
And I walk into the university building, English university, and like there's a dissertation due.
Right.
And it's due that day. And I had no idea that it was due. I've done no research. I've got nothing, absolutely nothing. Like literally didn't know I was supposed to hand it in. And I run around in a panic trying to just figure out what the hell, how am I going to write a 30,000 word dissertation now? And that happens, that I have that one a lot. I think that must, like you said, it's like an anxiety dream, I think, maybe.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, big time. Like, yeah, it's, like I said, people, I, as a teacher as well, I have, this is another anxiety dream. I'll probably have it at the start of the year, not all the time, just before school goes back. And that's like a big stress about starting again. But when I'm at school, I don't know if I'm the teacher or the student. Like that's the stress part of my dream. Either I've got to teach a class, I don't know where it is, I don't know what I'm teaching.
Okay, yeah.
Which is a very common teacher dream to have. But
yes.
Sometimes it's on another level where I'm like, am I the student? And because it'll be people I went to school with will be students, and it all gets completely messed up and I have no idea. But the not knowing where you go, it's the same. Yeah, you've got this thing due, but you have no idea.
Yeah.
You haven't prepared. Not prepared.
Right. Yeah, not being prepared. That's the thing. That's the biggest takeaway from it, is that I'm not prepared for something.
So I'm just gonna read. I'm just gonna read. I just went into the conversation I have with all the with Stu and Ellis and Wigo. I just typed into the search thing for dream. So I'm just gonna, a lot of it's like classic things about like different strokes or something like that. Now, did you ever watch Family Ties? What a great question.
Oh, God, vaguely sounds familiar.
So recently I had a dream that Ellis confessed he hadn't ever watched Family Ties ever, and he just pretended to watch it just so he could seem cool, and he'd been holding on to that for over 30 years and he needed to share it. I thought that was pretty interesting. I had a dream I was interviewing Robert De Niro. He said he looks in every script, and if his character doesn't show his penis, then he's not interested. Now, so this is what I mean. If you have a dream like that, then you owe it to yourself to write it down.
Yes, okay.
I had a dream that a woman was complaining that her daughter had forged her signatures so she could give the go-ahead for a Dracula cop movie. Now, like, if you want to analyze that, that's pretty great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm fascinated by dreams. My brain, like, I have full on, like, I wish I was a movie producer, because some of my dreams are like proper movies with a beginning, middle, and an end.
Yeah.
And I'll wake up through the dream and go, oh, that was interesting. And then I'll go back to sleep and it'll continue again. And some of my dreams are very like semi-conscious.
Right.
What's that movie called? Inception?
Yeah.
There was a movie where you can control your dreams. And to an extent, I sometimes get that.
Yeah, yeah. Lucid dreaming. My
lucid
daughter.
Dreaming. Yeah.
My 12-year-old's a big, she's big into lucid dreaming. I don't know, she must have read
Does
about
she,
it.
Really?
Well, she just read about it and she was like, that sounds amazing. And the thing of what you were talking about earlier about, do you actually see yourself? Very rarely I would have dreams that they're like a subsection. They're like a Die Hard dream. They're like an action movie. And I'm in it. But when I'm watching myself, then I kind of know it's a dream and I go, well, this should happen next. And then like it's almost me directing myself.
Right, right.
They're pretty fun dreams. I like having those dreams. They're pretty rare.
I just love what our brains can do when we're asleep.
So the last one I'll put was, which wasn't my dream, but it's what that I've obviously recorded on here was when my nephew was here and the girls were sleeping in the same room as him. He must have been 5 or something at the time, and he was laughing in his sleep. And the girls told me, like, "Hey, Benji was laughing in his sleep." And I said, "Hey, Benji, the girl said you were like laughing in your sleep." And he was like, yeah, I probably was, because I had a dream that I saw a pig sitting on another pig." I was like, "That's fair enough."
Bless.
Isn't that the sweetest image? That would be pretty funny if you saw that.
That is so cute.
If you remember them, if you wake up in the bleary-eyed state, write them down or record them, because I like you'd like to think, oh yes, you know, all these artistic endeavors that come to light because people saw it in a dream, but really
absolute nonsense.
Absolutely revolting and weird and strange, and your friend has a vagina in it for some reason. You're like, cool. How dare you? Why would you do this?
Right.
I thought we were friends, man.
That's awesome. I just want to just add a quick sub question, because you just brought it up about your nephew laughing in his dream.
Yeah.
Do you walk or talk in your sleep ever?
No, certain people like Stuart Buckland will claim that I sleep in pyramid formation.
Oh gosh, yes, I remember. I do remember that. Yeah.
He says he's seen it on multiple occasions, but when he brought it up recently, I did ask Justine, and she was unclear as to how she would not have seen me sleep in pyramid formation in the last 15, 20 years or so. He swears by it that I slept in some weird, like with my ass in the air or something. But no,
that was it. Yeah.
I don't talk in my sleep or do any or walk. Mm. My brother used to have like really crazy nightmares for ages, and like he's 4 years older than me, and he would have full on nightmares.
Damn.
I think up until he was in his 20s, but I'm not quite sure.
Wow.
And his daughter is a bit the same. She talks and is really vocal in her sleep. But yeah, I remember waking up in the middle of the night and hearing him like screaming out, and my mum having to, even like in his teens or anything like that. So not like, I'm not quite sure. I don't think they were horror style dreams, but I think that was just, I don't know, how he processed it. So yeah, no talking, walking, and very little snoring, which is something I've tried to avoid, because my dad's he's a world champion snorer.
God, Justine is so lucky.
Mm. Yeah, she'll give it a crack every now and then. She goes for it.
She does it for you.
She does, yeah. She will sometimes snore and I have to like move her so she rolls on her side or something, but
that sounds
as far as I know. My big problem is drooling.
I'm with you on that.
I might just write that down for episode title.
I have a problem with drooling.
My big problem is drooling. that's my big problem.
Right.
Yeah, it's not pleasant.
No, it's especially bad in Korea during the winter, because it's so dry.
Same here. It's very dry.
And you can't breathe through your nose because it actually hurts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you that one of the weirdest, it's not sleepwalking or anything like that, and maybe it added to Stu's belief that I slept in a pyramid, but I used to do this weird thing with the sheet where I would cover my eyes with the sheet, but not my mouth and nose.
How do you do that?
So that's a little hard to explain over a podcast. It's hard. Well, you, Ellis calls it the monster hole because kids will do it to like hide from monsters. But I get claustrophobic if I put the sheet over my head, but I don't like the light. So that's what I used to do all my life. I'd worked out. You sort of take the sheet from behind you.
Put it up over.
Put it over the back of your head and over onto your eyes.
You can't see me, but I'm actually like physically.
You know what? I think I explained that. I think I explained that pretty well. I think that's the way you kind of do it. But my kids, like 2 years ago for my birthday, were like, "Oh, we bought you some sleeping masks." And I was like, "Sleeping masks? What are you need that for?" Like some people wear on a plane, but they're like, And I was like, "Oh, I might try that." And now I just do that. It saves me putting a sheet over my head. I go to bed with a sleeping mask on. Like a character from the 50s, like a 50s sitcom or something like that, with my hair in rollers and my sleep mask over my eyes.
See, I've got a unique disability when it comes to that.
This sounds good.
I'm not sure if you know this, actually. I don't think we've ever talked about it, but I'm actually blind in my right eye.
I did not know you were blind in your right eye.
Yes. So if I'm sleeping and like the sun is coming through, I will sleep on my left side.
Yeah.
So my left side is buried in the pillow.
Into the pillow, right. So,
and the sun is coming into my right eye and I can't see it. So it's still nighttime.
So how long have you been blind in your right eye? Is it 100% blindness? Is it?
I was totally blind when I was born.
Right.
Why
are we talking about boring dream stuff if you're like, you were born blind?
Because I wanted to talk about you, not me. Yeah.
But the thing about me is I like listening to other people's stories. So you were born blind.
I was 100% blind when born. Yeah. And it was like late 70s. And I was the first child. So when my parents were like, we don't think our daughter is focusing properly. Doctors like, babies don't focus properly.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. I was going to ask how long it took because, I remember when Violet was born, like obvious as always, like reading up on like their focus and how they can only really see things close to them. And
right.
And I think I read that babies come out up and their sight's upside down, but I don't know. I'm not sure if that's true.
That is true. Yeah. I've heard that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes a while for their brain to flip the image as it does. Yeah. So, So at what age did they, like fairly early on, was it?
Well, there used to be, back in those days, there'd be like I want to say midwife or a social nurse that would visit the house rather than you going into a surgery back in the 70s. And finally she was like, I think you're right, your baby's not seeing anything,
right?
So finally took me to Oxford hospital to get tested, and it turned out it's been building up within my generation of my family is of cataracts.
Right.
So my grandfather suffered with it very badly. And then it hit me as a child that I was just like born with it. Should have been simple enough to cure. But I had an operation. And how can I explain this? They removed the cataracts from both eyes. But when you're a baby, and like you say, babies, when you're first born, you see things upside down and your brain has to make the connections.
Yeah.
To everything, like the neurological connections. And by the time I got the surgery, it was too late for the brain to make the connection Is that making
any
sense?
No, that makes sense.
So physically, there's no cataract in my left eye anymore.
Right, but your brain wasn't
my
able
right
to...
eye. Oh, sorry, I don't know left from right. Yeah, so but I never actually like made the connection.
Right.
And then when LASIK became a thing, it was so awful. LASIK was a thing, and my parents had signed me up to have like, oh, okay, new technology, yeah, daughter, go try it. And they told me that they were going to put a laser in my eye. And I was still, I was about 7 years old. So all I can think is Superman.
Yes, right.
You know how Superman can do lasers from his eyes? And I'm thinking, oh my God, if I blink, I'm going to have a hole through my eyelid.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the lasers. Yeah, of course.
Like, yeah. It didn't work, but yeah, so I have no depth. I have zero depth perception, which makes things funny if I'm drunk or tired.
Wow, right.
But it's how I am. I think if I suddenly woke up tomorrow and I could see, I would be so freaked out.
Right. Well, yeah, because you can see. So, yeah, it would be, I don't know. I guess it would
be... Like imagine playing darts.
Yeah.
And you're right-handed trying to play darts, but you can't see where your hand is aiming for.
Yeah, right.
You do not want to play darts.
No,
with me.
No, all right. I won't be playing darts
or,
with you.
Or anywhere near me.
Right. Wow, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
I've got lots more questions about that.
It's cool. I was like I say, it's just how I've grown up. I don't know any difference, so it's completely fine and normal for me.
Yeah, it's all. I always like throwing that in class about if people are born blind, trying to explain to them that, because when you tell people, oh, they're blind, so what do they see? Then people say, oh, like it's black, and you're like, no, it's not black.
Right.
They can't see anything, and they're like, yeah, like black, and you're like, no, it's not like you closing your eyes, it's there's nothing, and that just freaks them out, trying to get them to think of it, of what that actually means, of what,
right,
because you can imagine what no sound is like, being if you lost your hearing, you can understand what that would be, an absence of sound. But an absence of sight, people just think, oh, it's like you close your eyes.
No, it's not like that.
It doesn't work.
Have you ever been into a cave where they turn off all the lights and you can't see the hand in front of your face?
Yeah.
It's like that kind of like freaky thing.
Yeah.
You know your hand is there. You physically know your hand is in front of your face, but you can't see it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way. That's a good way to explain it. I'll use that next time.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. Anyway, yes. So yes, we know we learned about you.
Yeah. Sorry. Yes.
That's all right.
So I think I've done interrogating you for at least this episode.
Okay. Cool. I thought I might finish with the question book, the All About You, 2,500 questions. If you want to pick a number, then I'll answer it, and then you can answer it.
Okay, I'm up for that.
Yes. So I have no preparation unless I've read every question, which I haven't. Either way.
Okay. So what's the numbers between?
Between 1 and 2,500.
Oh, wow. Okay,
1,674. It says, can you cope?
No.
Sometimes. I think that's a what a great question. Yeah. No is your answer. I think I'm quite good at coping. With the when obviously with the pandemic, and again, in Australia, we've been fairly lucky to this date. Who knows? Okay. By the time this episode comes out, shit could have gone.
Don't say it.
Yeah. But we've been very lucky. But we were in lockdown for 6 weeks, and
right.
I think everyone went through some kind of shared grief or loss, a feeling of loss of normality in the world, but also the fact that how long is this going to go for and all this uncertainty. But one thing I've found out that, like, all the stuff that I've been saying about, oh, I'm a fairly positive person and I tend to, you know, head up challenges and do that stuff, I actually found it was actually fairly true.
Okay.
And it was, you can't lie to yourself about a global pandemic of like, oh, right. Just pretend, but, you know, deep down you're struggling. I struggled at first, but I found fairly quickly I could make the best of it. Again,
you could adapt.
Yeah, again, it's really the effect on me and even us as a family was fairly minor. We could still go out for a walk. We could still go outside. We really weren't going to the shops very much. That was the only thing we could do.
Okay.
We weren't seeing anybody. But I, yeah, found that I adapted fairly quickly. I having a routine helped, you know, like when the girls had to do their schooling, then it became this is what we're doing. Not so much a timetable, but we would go for a walk in the morning and a walk in the afternoon and sort of break up the day. I kind of found that I got to a place of acceptance quite quickly.
Okay.
Whereas Justine got to that exact same place, but it just took her longer. And I'd say that's the same for a lot of people if they got to a place of that acceptance of,
right,
like, well, there's nothing you can do. I don't know. It kind of, the thing that I get annoyed about with people in general, and it's the same people who like having meetings, I've found, who like to talk about what's important in our life, you know?
Okay.
Letting go of the things you can't change, and what's important in your life is your family, and putting, you know, work-life balance and all this stuff. When that actually happens for real, like in a global pandemic, and you have to simplify your life, there's no other way around it. All of those platitudes and things people talk about, I just used very quickly. Like, okay, everyone's been talking about this forever in every friggin' meeting I've ever been in. This is the real world application of that. My family is important. The safety of the community is important. I can't change everything. I can't change I can't change a global pandemic. I have to stay inside. The government here was pretty strict, and from what we discovered, that Australians were very good at following the rules. Even though we like to pretend that we're, you know, anti-authoritarian, but, you know, let's all follow.
When it came down to it, you're like, makes
people
sense.
People complained and people protested, but it just, it was one of those things where everyone was like, can we just do this and then it'll be easier?
Right.
I don't know. I found it, that part of it was, again, easy. But again, we were in a good financial position. Neither of us lost our jobs. We didn't have that stress, so it was easy enough for us. But I found fairly quickly I said, okay, well, this is going to happen. The kids were really resilient as well. I don't really want to hear anything more about the people to the kids today and how they don't have any resilience because we baby them too much, because that's bullshit. They had some people had like a whole year of their young lives removed.
Yes.
Are they not resilient for getting through that? Like, I don't know. Anyway, I'm just rambling.
I I didn't want to talk about the thing that we not to yes. mention.
Yes, that's right.
But I think it's definitely had a toll on the kids.
Yeah.
More so than the adults. Like the kids who, I have children at my school who have, they because in Korea the school new like the new semester the first year starts in March.
Right. Yes.
So from March of last year.
Right.
Until now, those kids have never actually been in school.
Right. No, they haven't been in a classroom, have they?
No, it's all been via Skype.
Yeah. And again,
and you just, you know, that's got to, I mean, yes, kids are resilient, but, you know, they're missing out on socializing, sharing, learning social skills, all the things that you learn when you're in first grade at primary school.
Right.
As well as being stuck in, no, I'm not going to go there. It's going to get too okay. serious.
Let's talk more about.
But I'm feeling for the children.
Yes, I understand. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, it's dependent on like what you actually had to put up with. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the kids that I know here, I found the students were more resilient than the adults. But again, it was only for 6 weeks or so. But I found the adults really struggled with letting go of that control of like, no, we need to keep going, doing the exact same thing. We're like, well, you can't. It's just impossible. Right. Or making rash decisions of like, everyone should do this and we should do this. And having conversations with people of like, just stop. Please just stop trying to have a solution to something that's never happened before. And you're trying to have a solution right now. It's really annoying.
Right.
But anyway.
Yes.
Anyway, that's enough of that. Let's find another question that's not so moody. I'll pick a question and hopefully it's not so much about that.
Yes.
The first question I turned to was 2,134 and it reads, have you ever been homophobic?
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
I would like to say that no, I never have.
weird question.
I'm seriously thinking about this. I'm thinking back to school where I knew people, a couple of people who weren't out as gay, but I knew they were gay.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When they don't know it yet, but everyone else does.
I am a teacher at high school. Yes, you do see that.
Right.
From time to time, especially when they leave school and then they might message you or you might see them later and they tell you as something shocking. I need to tell you something. I don't know if you've heard, but yes, I come out as gay and you're like, okay.
Yeah, I knew that 10 years
ago. Yeah, how about that? Then you go in the staff room, you're like, oh my God, guess who's, it's that kind of thing. I'm like, well, you know, that's their right to take that time, isn't it?
I can think of one occasion where I was confused. I wasn't sure about someone's sexuality. He's become a good friend of mine now, and he was in a we have a theater group that is mostly foreigners but some Koreans join, and I wasn't part of the group. I was just at that point I hadn't acted. I just went to watch the performances. And this guy that I had never met before came on in two different roles. And one of them was camp as hell.
Yeah.
And the other one was massively straight.
Right.
So I came away thinking, well, now you're a really good actor.
Oh, right. Because you've done both.
You either act camp super well or you act straight. really well.
Right, with you, yes.
When I met him afterwards, I was like, great performance, guy. I've got to ask you, which of those characters was you? And yeah, he was totally camp gay guy.
Yeah.
And as soon as I met him in person, it was obvious.
Right.
But he did straight so well that I was really confused.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I think when I was at uni, I had quite a few people ask me if I was gay.
Okay.
I did drama as well. Just, but that was always interesting to go, oh, there's a lot of talk around the class or wherever else that about my sexuality, which is unusual. But I don't know. I'm sure I was homophobic at a time, especially in my younger days. Yeah, most definitely. I think I always, I don't know. I think one of those things that we might say, oh, you know, like I accepted gay people, but I don't think when I think back to high school, there were no out gay people that I can recall. There were gay people we went to school with, but there were no out people. And there's a reason for that.
Right.
And it'd be easy to say, oh, well, we, you know, they should have come out. We would have treated them, but I don't think we would have. I don't think. And
do you think there's a... Oh, sorry.
No, you go.
I was going to say, do you think there's... this is like getting a bit serious. Do you think there's a prejudice, like men thinking of two gay guys having sex makes them go, "Wah!"
Yeah.
But a straight man thinking of two lesbians is like, "Ooh."
Yeah.
Whereas, and girls just don't give a fuck. Is that true? Is that something that I've just made up?
Or? No, that is true. And it's also, the other double standard is too, is that no one doubts a gay man for coming out. So, because why would you come out if you weren't gay? But girls that came out as gay, and I've seen this at schools, I've heard teachers talk about student sexuality in staff rooms, which is outrageous. where they're like, oh, so-and-so, you know, told me that they're a lesbian. I don't know if I believe it, like that kind of stuff. Where like, it's just a phase. That girls can have a phase of being gay, but guys can't, because why would you ever try or have a phase of being gay, because that's gross. You know, like you would never come out as gay because, oh, imagine. But for girls, that's the exact same standard that you're talking about, but it also manifests in that way of like, well, the girls, if girls are like lesbians together and I'm a guy, then maybe it's just a phase, so I could still have sex with them. That'll be fine. But a guy who comes out gay, well, like no girl's ever going to have sex with him. So why would you do that? Like it's very odd, that reaction.
Yes, and there is something like people that I'm very good friends with will still have that slight like homophobic, like they do what together? You? And I tried explaining like, no, not everyone does do the thing that makes you go ew.
Yeah,
you know, that's just it's a very difficult thing to explain to people who do have this kind of hitch on their, like, they're like, oh, no.
Yeah, it affects them.
Convincing them.
Yeah. Like it affects them somehow. That's the other thing.
Right.
No, just the thought of it. It's just, I don't know. It's a very puritanical way of thinking, isn't it? To be like, oh, no.
Right.
Just the thoughts. I don't know. Some of it may, I think it, some of it comes down to being uncomfortable with the thoughts even. If I think about gay people, then maybe I'll become a bit gay. I don't know. I think that's a real fear in men, is like, oh, if there's gay men around me. I mean, be flippant about it. It's a Jerry Seinfeld thing, line from long ago, where he said that maybe men are afraid of other gay men because they know deep down they have weak sales resistance. which I thought was an interesting way of putting it. I'm like, well, maybe I'll give it. Yeah, okay. Someone convinced me. So I don't know. It's that is something I've never understood. But again, like as far as homophobia goes, I'm sure in my teenage years I had homophobia because, like I said, there's no gay people in our school. There were, right. and for some of them we knew, and we made fun of them about it. They didn't come out as gay, but we made fun of them for being effeminate or being.
That's what kids do. Gay. Kids pick up anything that they can use to torture other kids with.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it's true or not.
Yeah, exactly right. Whether it's true or not, it's not important.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kids ever go, I wonder if this is true. They never go, oh, this is fun. It's not me. Yeah. I'm not the victim. Anyway, we are getting serious, aren't we? We'll leave it at that. We'll leave about the how do we get onto this? We'll leave it with the crux of bullying in a nutshell. But anyway, thank you, Sam.
It's been an honor to be here again, and it's been so wonderful to get to talk to you again.
And thank you. Yeah, thank you for bringing questions to me. Like I said, it's always more stressful asking the questions. Yeah. And I will talk to you again, I'm sure.
I hope so.
Yes.
Yeah, whether it's a podcast or just because.
And just because, that's right. And you said you're appearing on Stuart's podcast. What's that podcast called?
A bit weird, but fair enough.
A bit weird, but fair enough. You can find Sam's episode on We're A Bit Weird, But Fair Enough as well.
The timeline's going to be a bit weird.
Yeah, the time. You may have already heard it. You may have already heard it before Sam's recorded it. How about that?
Yes. Time travel.
Time travel. All right. Thanks, Sam.